Hey guys, we're Workplay Branding, a visual marketing company invested in changing the way you create content online for your business for less than $500 a month. We have been using the Workplay method to launch visual marketing strategies for businesses all over North America and Europe. If you are wanting to uplevel your marketing, we are giving listeners of the Workplay podcast an exclusive video bonus offer on their first Workplay shoot for free when you DM us the word podcast. This offer is valued at $1,500. And again, we are giving this away for free. To claim this offer, go to @WorkplayBranding on Instagram and DM us podcast to claim this exclusive free video bonus offer valued at $1,500. That is @WorkplayBranding on Instagram. DM us the word podcast. Don't miss out. Welcome to the Workplay podcast, where we deep dive into how to create a visual marketing strategy that actually moves the needle. Take a peek inside the minds of hundreds of Workplay members who have created successful visual campaigns that have generated millions in revenue.
From a franchisor perspective, if you have to go out and find the videographer and you have to find the photographer and you have to communicate, hey, we're creating this campaign, like you have to figure out all of that strategy and all of that yourself. And when you are an emerging brand, you are like juggling so many things. This is the easy button where you get to bring someone in, have those strategy conversations, and the marketers, Workplay, right, can say, oh, well, have you thought about this? And we could do this and we could do this. And it just opens up your mind. So that's at a minimum. Like, I think every franchisor should use Workplay, especially the emerging brands. Shannon Wilborn, welcome to the Workplay podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk to you, Lyric.
I am so excited to have you on because you are just like the franchise guru. I love the way that your brain thinks, the way that it scales, the way that you think about franchising. And so this is such a cool conversation because we've never had someone like you on the podcast talking about these sorts of things for franchisors. So I am so excited. Can you just introduce yourself in terms of who Yep. you are, what your business is? But I know that you have a really amazing business backstory, so I'd love for you to get into that
okay,
as well.
Sure. I call myself a serial entrepreneur, but for years I called myself an accidental entrepreneur. And I'm going to call it my first real business in 1997. You know, for those of us who have entrepreneurism in our blood, we probably did things as elementary kids and high school kids and in college, like all had all the ideas to make a buck, right? And but my first, I'm going to call it my first real business, started in 1997 and started in my living room. The concept is called Just Between Friends. And basically what Just Between Friends is, it's a marketplace for families to buy and sell gently used children's and maternity clothes, toys, and baby equipment. So before Facebook Marketplace was a thing, we had our own marketplace, and it was in a convention center or on a basketball gymnasium in a school or at a church. Or now we started franchising that. So the basic concept is families have items to sell, gently used children's and maternity items, and they bring those items to one location for a few days, and they tag all that stuff at home, and then we open up for shoppers to come shop. So the sellers are making money 60-70%. The shoppers are saving money 50-90% off of retail. So it ends up being, you know, a great, you know, it's great for America. I mean, it's just real. It's something where they can save a lot of money. So. And then we didn't know we were going to franchise, but 6 years later, because of the growth that we had seen within our own concept and the fact that other people in other states and cities were calling us saying, hey, we want to start this in our area, we started franchising. So in 2003, we started franchising. We grew the company to 155 locations in 33 states, 42 million in system-wide sales. And then I had an exit in December of 2022. And now I do coaching for franchisors. And so that's the gist of what I do.
And it's so funny how casual you are about that. It's like, oh, yeah, 155 locations and we got the exit. I'm like, you are the pinnacle of what every franchisor wants to get to, I feel like. And so how did you scale this? I mean, yes, you started 1997. It's been a while, but like in the grand scheme of things, it was pretty quickly. How did this happen? How did you scale? And I know that there's a lot of different factors in this, but what are the key components?
Well, I will tell you, we did a lot of stuff wrong. So a lot, I did not have a coach, and which is why I advocate for that for franchisors or just business owners in general to have a coach. But we did a lot of things wrong, a lot of trial and error, which I know is any startup. But I think one thing that sets us apart, Lyric, from maybe some other franchisors that are trying to scale is we had proven the concept because my business background was non-existent when I started my company. So we learned on the fly, and there was some good things about that. And there were some really bad things about that. One of the things that was really bad is I did not understand IP. I did not understand trademarks. I just, you know, was like, hey, let's have a sale in my living room. And but we got kind of, I think what helped us really was we had friends and family that saw what we were doing. And they said, hey, we want to do this in our city and in our state. And so before we franchised, we had helped 10 or 12 locations in California, Colorado, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, open their own just between friends. We were not taking a penny for that. We were just kind of giving our intellectual property the name, like they were using the name, some of them were. And then we were telling them, this is how you do it. This is how you operate. Basically, just anything that was in our brain, we were helping them so that they could do it. And what I didn't really understand is we were proving the concept and we were showing that it can, while it was going really well in Tulsa, it was also going really well in Florida. It was going really well in Texas. It was going great in California. And so when we did decide to start franchising, and that is actually creating an FDD, a contract that they sign, we had an ops manual. When we did decide to do that, we had proven the concept. So it wasn't Shannon and Devin, my co-founder, saying, yes, it's going to work. You should buy one. It was 10 other people who had already been doing it for 2 or 3 years as well, saying, yes, it works. It's not just a one-off. It's not just because Shannon is friendly. It's not because Devin is very detail oriented. It is, this can work in these areas. And so that's the gist of the story, Lyric.
I love that. And I have a question for you on that, because I would consider that, in my own words, to be, you had momentum.
100%.
You had this, it's like the snowball effect. It's getting bigger, it's rolling down the hill. How do you start to get that momentum? Because I think when people are right, they're just like, they're sitting there and they're like, how do I do this? I know that it could work. And like, they're waiting for the first to five franchise sales. Like, how do you start to build that momentum? Do you have to not take a penny? Like, are there strategies for that? What does
not
that
take
look
a penny
like?
Is one of those strategies. No, I think it's different for everyone. And if I were to give advice to someone starting a franchise brand, like I am working with a company right now called SMB Franchise Advisor. So I am partnering with a company that this is what they do. They take a brand, a concept that is doing well in one location. And if this person wants to scale through franchising, you pay them a fee, or you pay us a fee, and we help you get your FDD, your contract together that your franchisees are going to sign. We help you with your ops manual. We help you figure out what you need to do to sell, like the processes around franchise sales and franchise development, and help you get your marketing materials and tell you the compliance piece of franchising, because it's highly regulated. And so you have, you know, this company to help you. But I will say, just from my own experience, this is Shannon Wilburn's opinion, right? Others have other opinions. But I think it's because this is what we did. We had other locations before we started. It wasn't just the mothership. Mm-hmm. And so I always feel like it's a great idea to have, you know, to go ahead and start another location in another area where you are not managing it, because there are entrepreneurs out there that the reason they're good is because the founder is good, right? It may be that the concept is okay, but the model may not work if the founder is not doing it. And franchising, really, Lyric, is the licensing of a business model that produces predictable cash flows to an average franchisee with average intelligence, with average work ethic on an average day. And so that's who you're going to be selling to. Now, when you sell a franchise, you're not going to think that person's average, but you'll get some that are like rock stars, and then you will get some that interviewed well. And probably, so you have to make sure that your concept can be done by someone without you being in it. And so that would be my advice, is if you have the cash flow, if you have the profitability, you know, and enough profitability that would be able to support an owner operator. So we're talking like right now, probably anywhere from $75,000-$80,000 on up. Like that has to be the profitability after you take out fees for the franchisor. And so it depends, like if it's $1 million average unit volume, then you're not gonna, you know, I mean, 10% profitability would cover that. But in brands like mine, where our AUVs are less than $500,000, our average unit volume, I don't want to use acronyms without saying what it means. Sorry. Catch me if I do that again, Larry, catch me. Okay.
Don't worry. I was like, okay, you got to dumb it down for Shannon.
Sorry. So average unit volume is basically what does your average franchisee do annually in terms of gross sales. Or gross revenues. So anyway, I don't know if that's helpful, but I do think the learning in that is if you can have another location or two locations or three locations before you step into the franchising space, and you will have worked through all of those little bugs that you didn't even know existed because it was just innate in your brain and you just know how to do it.
Right.
But if you put those systems, if you have another location or a third location and you put those systems and processes in place, then it's going to, I call it pushing the easy button. And I think that's where work play comes in, is you guys are absolutely the easy button for franchisors, for franchisees. So I'm excited to talk to you about that.
I love that, because I also agree, we have Workplay has a very similar scaling mechanism with content that franchisors, franchisees just fall perfectly into. I do want to ask you though, like when you have gotten these numbers figured out, how do you know when the right time is for the easy button to happen? Like, is this over time? Is this at a certain number of locations? Because I really think that the Workplay process works so well when you have some of these things in place
100%.
First. What is the point where you're like, okay, we have momentum? Like, are there symptoms or signs that people can diagnose themselves, even listening? Oh, I have momentum. Yep.
I can share our journey. And but I think once a franchise gets to 100, 100 locations, or honestly 50 locations, it's almost too late. It's like, it's never too late, but it is harder. It's like, instead of steering a speedboat, you're steering the Titanic. And so implementation is harder. It takes longer. Adoption takes longer. And if you can find the easy button early in your franchising career, or, early in that process, then your franchisees are going to get the benefit of that, which is what franchising is. Franchising, you are rated on if you are a good franchisor or not. Two things that I'm really thinking of. Three things. Are you supporting your franchisees with marketing, with technology, with legal, with legislative, with operations, with coaching? You know, that's an expectation. Are they profitable? Like, if they're not profitable, don't go into franchising unless you can be sure that your franchisees are going to be profitable. And are they highly satisfied, right? And that is something that we rank in the franchising space, is satisfaction. And one of the areas, and there is a franchise survey that lots of franchisors use, is called Franchise Business Review. And they rank on like 9 or 10 different areas. They rank on leadership. They rank on core values. They rank on profitability. And one of them is marketing. And so there is an expectation when someone buys your brand and hands over thousands of dollars, right? I mean, buying a franchise is not cheap. It is, minimum, you're going to be handing over $50,000. That's minimum. Upwards of, I think average to, well, I'm not even going to say what average is, but, $500,000 sometimes. If you're in the restaurant space, $1 million or more sometimes. Just depends on what is being franchised. But there is going to be an expectation that you have figured out the marketing and branding. And we had not. I will tell you, we absolutely 100% thought we knew what we were doing, and we did not know what we were doing. And granted, this was before digital marketing. This was before, like, I'm going to date myself, but we are mailing people CDs. If you don't know what a CD is, Google it.
I do know what a CD is. I was just on the last generation that had the CD players with the headphone. And you would put them in a DVD player. I was there. I was there for that. So I do know what you're talking about.
You're funny. That's what we would send out. We would, put a few images and some ideas for magazines, and again, before digital marketing was out there. So now it's, of course, the landscape has hugely changed, and now we have ways to systematize all of this. And so I don't know if that answered your question.
Yes, 100%. And I want to dive into the marketing piece, because I think this is where workplace world and your world really intersects here. Because when it comes to marketing is a very big umbrella. I think everyone has different definitions of marketing. I think franchisees coming to franchisors have a completely different idea of what marketing the franchise should be, or what they should be given, than what the franchisor has. Like, there's a mismatch of like definition or even expectation. Yep. And I want to make something really clear, and I'm sure you can expand on this, Shannon, but marketing, there are so many different channels at which you can market. What goes on those channels are the visual assets, which we will get to later on in the episode. But I want to really clearly define what marketing looks like for a franchise from a channel perspective. Like, what are you seeing people use for marketing that is working in the franchise space. And I know that it can be,
it's going to be, different. It is, when we're talking about the franchise space all across the board, it's just like saying, you know, what are we using in any industry? It can be all across the board. I can tell you that for our brand specifically, social media is a huge avenue for us. It is where we connect with our mompreneurs, you know, the moms that are out there wanting to participate in our sales. That is, social media is, it is, and I hate to even give it a percentage, but it's a huge percentage of how we market. And, but we still have some who do direct mail very infrequently in our brand. We do, of course, videos, and we're communicating through, again, social media, like Facebook groups, where the sellers can get information, PR. We have great PR. But I will tell you, in franchising, so if you have a concept and you want to scale it and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to have to give my franchisees with when it comes to marketing? So we have all different kinds of technology that we use within our brand, like Canva. Of course, I know all of your people will know what Canva is, and any of those things that can help get the message out. We have a scheduling tool that we use called Ralio. Some people, of course, use Meta to do their scheduling. But I think, again, if we're going back to the easy button, here's the thing. Marketing can be a second full-time job. And your franchisees who are buying your brand, they don't want a second full-time job. They want you to have figured it out and you to have put the systems and processes in place. And so I think that is happening more and more and more as digital marketing evolves, is there are more tools, more pieces of technology out there that can automate. Even in the, when you're talking about Google reviews and being responsive to all the AI that's out there right now. But that, the reputation management piece is huge, because as a franchisor, you are only as good as your lowest performing franchisee. And so you care about reputation management. You care that they're getting 5 stars on Google, because the local, especially in large cities where you may, like in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have 11 locations. And in Seattle, greater Seattle area, we have like 7 or 8, same in the Houston area, same in Minneapolis. I mean, it's like, and so you want your cohorts in the next suburb over to be doing a great job. So I don't know. There's so many different ways that you can do it.
I think that's so interesting, that reputation management. And what you're saying is, like, you're only as good as your lowest performing franchisee, because it causes you to look at like the bottom line of your roster of franchisees. And it's interesting, because when we kind of switch this conversation into visuals, and especially social media, which is a huge one for, like you said, Just Between Friends, but also so many other franchises out there. It's so funny, because I see, we're seeing all of the franchises and the social media. I would argue you're just as good as your worst franchisee at social media when it comes to the brand and pushing it out there. And it's interesting.
Sometimes
that,
it's very embarrassing. Like, you have a brand, you've created a brand, you've put time, energy, effort into getting great collateral, great pieces. And then franchisees sometimes take their own pictures, or they put it out there and you're like, take it down, but what, like, even as a franchisor, managing all that, going into your franchise locations and making sure they're in compliance, that is something that takes time and effort. And so the more collateral you can give, the more content you can give that is created from the top down to your franchisees and put it in some type of technology that pushes it out where they don't have to do anything, that is key, which is why I love you guys so much and wanted to introduce you to the franchising space.
And I love that you did, because as soon as I saw what was happening, I was like, oh my God, we need to get in there. We need to like make over the industry. Yeah. Because it comes down to this idea that you're sitting on, as a franchisor, you're sitting on a brand machine. Yes. I mean, if you are looking at how many locations you have, let's just say you have 20 locations. They each have different presences on these digital platforms, like social media. Let's just keep it easy. Social media. If they are putting out really like not great content, doesn't go inside of the brand. If that's not at least happening, you're amplifying something that is so not what the brand is, or that you've worked hard to do, or that you've spent money putting
into. We call that out of compliance with brand standards.
What? Shannon, tell me, because do franchisors have these brand standards and they're not being, enforced? It's because franchises don't have the systems to do it.
It's both. It is lots of times. I think this is what happens, right? Oh, I'm creative. I can take that logo and make it look cute, right? And they do what they want. And even sometimes people who have the brand standards, if they are not following all of the brand standards, then it can look very different. Like they're like, well, I used the correct logo and I used the right colors, but you didn't use the right font and you said it this way and that's not really our brand voice. And so it is a lot to manage. And I hate to use the word police, because I don't think any of us want to be police. What we want to do is we want to be able to provide our franchisees with great content that they can use to get customers, and those customers can pay for the service so they can make a living. Okay.
Yes.
And that's what I mean by pushing the easy button. So at whatever, listen, smaller brands, I really feel like need work play, because it's coming from one location or even two locations. Oh, I'm managing the social media for three locations. Like that's one thing. Oh, now I have 20. Holy cow, I need a team of five people. And so anything you can do to automate it, to have a system, to have a process, and give them something that they can use. Like in our brand, one of the things we do is we're like, okay, here are all these pieces of collateral. We have different things that we give out at different times of the year based on, here's our spring campaigns, because most of our sales are happening in the spring. Here's our fall campaign, because the rest, we've got the second half of the year. Here's our fall campaign or campaigns. And here are the different sizes for this one and this one and this one. And all of that, those are things that we just push out at a certain time. But then you want to have a local presence too. And I think that's another way where you guys come in, because you can, this is something that we get in franchising. Well, my location's different from that location. And sometimes, honestly, I don't want to listen to that, because I'm like, is it that different? But what I think, like, representation matters. And so having a franchise in Miami is going to be very different than having a franchise in Minneapolis. And and so there are things that can be done. Like we for the longest time, we had our franchisees wanted to have Spanish speaking collateral, and it took us a really long time to get that, to do that. And again, back before we have all of these translation technologies now, this is back before that. So before Google Translate and all of that. So anyway, it is hard to do it without systems and processes and things like Wordplay.
I totally agree. And the sooner that you can get the system in, the sooner that it starts working for you. And it's interesting that when you were talking about representation and that mattering in terms of your different locations, I would say especially when you have locations in the same city as well, because how are they going to differentiate themselves while keeping the same brand standard that you have, but not looking the same? How are they going to, you know, because you don't want them to compete with each other, but you want them to be all profitable. And so it's very interesting how there is such an opportunity to streamline all of that brand collateral, that content, all of the launching of that content through the Wordplay process. I know that you are one of our Wordplay clients for a coaching and personal brand perspective. From someone who has built a franchise, who has scaled it enormously, has exited, how do you see franchises using Wordplay branding and the content system that we are delivering?
I think from a minimal perspective, the franchisor should absolutely be. I mean, the cost to do business with you guys is very affordable when you look at what you get for what value you get out of that. And so at a minimum, I think signing on for an annual, the quarterly things where you guys can come in and do brand shoots, I think that is, and you guys have already trained your people. Like, I think this is what, from a franchisor perspective, if you have to go out and find the videographer and you have to find the photographer and then you have to communicate, hey, this is what we're trying to, we're creating this campaign. Like, you have to figure out all of that strategy and all of that yourself. And when you are an emerging brand, you are like juggling so many things. This is the easy button where you get to bring someone in, have those strategy conversations, and the marketers, Wordplay, right, can say, oh, well, have you thought about this? And we could do this, and we could do this. And it just opens up your mind. So that's at a minimum. Like, I think every franchisor should use Wordplay, especially the emerging brands, especially because it is 100% the easy button. And then you walk away with 90 days worth of collateral that then you can push down. And in franchising, we say it's the parent-child relationship, meaning we created as the parent, we're going to push it down so the children, the franchisees can use it, and they can use, you know, what they want of the stuff that's already approved. And but from a franchisee perspective, I mean, the franchisee could be in some of the, if it's owner operator and the franchisee could be in some of those, the employees in the location could be in some of those, you guys could come in and get, if it's a retail location, like I have a retail client, right? I have two retail clients that I'm thinking of right now, like, oh my gosh, I need to introduce you guys to these people because they have brick and mortar locations where they are selling product. And this could be, they can get their collateral taken care of. And it's so easy. And then intersperse that with what the franchisor has.
100%. And what I love about the franchisee coming into this process is you don't have to worry about the franchisor getting mad at you. We have seen that before of like, we have to make sure it's in within this guideline. Wordplay already integrates with the franchisor to be able to make sure anything that we plan for the franchisee is already
in compliance with brand standards.
Yes. compliance. It's already approved. There's no policing. It's already integrated. And you know what's interesting about like the next level, I think, of the franchise market is, yes, we have like all of this base content, but you can push out and be so savvy with different campaigns. Like you were saying at the beginning, like we have seasonal campaigns. These campaigns can be made either from a franchisee level, but also from a franchisor level to just get pushed out to everyone. So everyone is utilizing the seasonal campaign.
And it's hard. I will tell you, Lyric, it is, again, especially emerging brands, you may not have a CMO hired yet, a chief marketing officer. You may not have that person. You may not even have a director of marketing. It may be founder. This is what I can come up with. And thinking through the strategic piece of what you're going to offer and what campaigns you're going to do in 2025 when it's fourth quarter 2024. Like, should you be thinking about that? Absolutely, 100%. Are you? Probably not. You're probably like trying to keep your head above water. And, but that's again why I love those strategic calls that you guys do, because we can share kind of, you ask the questions and we can ideate back and forth with you to come up with a strategic plan for the year. Like, this is what we're gonna really focus. You know, I'm trying to think of like a brand that I could, you know, maybe like a senior care services brand. Like, we're gonna work on, it's Alzheimer's month, and so we're gonna work on this month. Or we need more caretakers, or we need more nurses, and this. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do some campaigns around getting. It is endless, but you have to be strategic, or else it's just, you know, it's, you got to have focus and be strategic about it. And you guys help with that.
You also need an accountability partner. If it's just you and you don't have a CMO, there is no one knocking at your door saying, where are the Q4 campaigns? Are the Q1s done? Like, what's happening?
Yes.
Right. And so I think that's where, you know, Workplay comes in for the franchisor or franchisee, as well as like what you're saying is like, even if you have no idea, we're going to make sure you have ideas, and we're going to make sure that the creative idea is all done for you. So you don't have to think about those things, but we are kind of holding you accountable to the marketing that you have to think about. And I don't know about you, Shannon, but I find that founders and franchisors, sometimes they're not doing things because they just don't have clarity around what the next move
100%.
Should be. And so they...
They don't do anything because they know it's going to cost money and they don't want to make the wrong decision. So I 100% agree with that. And you guys come in and add that clarity. And it feels good. It feels so good as a franchisor to be able to communicate with your franchisees. Listen, we're working on Q1 and Q2 campaigns. Like, that is, it's coming. And you're going to get it, you know, December 15th, you're going to have your Q1 campaigns ready to go. And so good.
It's easy, streamlined. The franchisor or the franchisee is like, oh, I don't have to think about like posting an iPhone photo. It's already done for me. Great. And then there's also, you know, between the franchisees, they have different marketing problems for each franchisee. They have different strengths. They're all human. Sometimes, you know, one franchisee may be so good at cultivating the community while someone else is not as good. And so I think that streamlining this process as the visual, as the catalyst to this process, helps you create the assets, but then also streamline the ideas of all of your franchisees into one system so that you can actually push out campaigns that are going to work.
Well, and I'm a big proponent, Lyric, of delegate and elevate. And if there is something that, you know, listen, could the owner operator be doing their own creative? Yeah. Is that the best use of their genius time? Probably not. Like, let's pay the people who know how to get great content and are creative to do that. And then we can take that and amplify it out into our market.
I 100% agree. And no better person to say that than you, who has literally gone over that 100 location mark. You're into all of those like bigger problems. And having that insight from someone like you is so helpful.
Well,
and, so
and I have walked through the fire, right, of not doing it well, not pushing the easy buttons, yes, and watched what amplified was frustration from franchisees of, we need creative, we need stuff. And if you don't provide it to them, they will come up with their own stuff. And that's where compliance happens. And then all of a sudden, instead of doing this with your franchisees, oh, we're so thankful. Yay. Thank you for providing this. We're doing this. Like, why aren't you supporting me with marketing? And so this can help you stay out of, you know, purgatory with franchisees when they have expectations of being supported with marketing. And again, the easy button.
It's so true. And the more and more we go into this digital marketplace of how we market, of how we communicate, of how we cultivate community, the visual then just becomes so much more important, because all of these platforms are visual. So if you are feeling the pressure right now from franchisees of like, I don't have content, I don't have anything to use. Or like, if you look at, you can just self-diagnose. If you look at your own social media, you're like, oh no, like all of my locations or all of my franchisees are not looking cohesive or they're not looking professional. Now is the time, because it's just going to go deeper and deeper into the digital abyss. And I think it's just important to realize that, like, it's not getting any easier from a content perspective. It's only going to get more. It's only going to get more demanding. And then it's going to amplify.
If you do it right from the start, then you don't have to backtrack. I'm thinking of, you know, the opposite of this lyric. If people are not using WorkPlay or something like WorkPlay, then what they're likely dealing with, and this was us from time to time, you have people who are not in compliance, and then you have to have that hard conversation with them. And, you know, you're saying, okay, hey, here's your default letter. Here's a legal letter to tell you you're getting a spanking. And that's not fun to receive. It's also not fun to give. It's like, hey, if you would do it right from the first time, but sometimes people don't know what right is. And again, this is where if you invest in WorkPlay, you invest in coming up with the creative and content and pushing it out, you're not going to have those hard conversations with your franchisees, and it'll keep franchisor franchise relations at an all-time high, this franchise satisfaction at an all-time high. So
good. And no one wants to have the hard conversation. I will be confrontational, but I don't like confrontation. I feel like a lot of people are so in that same
boat. And I'm thinking of, there are so many people in the franchising, I guess, bubble of suppliers and franchisors. And I don't know any other vendor partner, supplier partner that is doing what you guys are doing, which is why I want to shout it from the rooftops.
Love that so much. I just feel like we get each other, because systematically, you know, WorkPlay is definitely designed in the same way that franchises scale. And so when we met, I was like, oh, you're speaking my language. And I feel like the feeling was mutual. And I love that you are such a big proponent of raising franchisors up and why you do what you do in general. I have one last question for you. Is why do you think it is important for franchisors and or franchisees to create quarterly campaigns on a quarterly basis, essentially, throughout the year? Why is it important to keep up with that? And I know that you kind of answered that a little bit throughout, but hard, fast answer.
I think if your franchisees have those needs, and if you are putting content out there the same thing all the time, your franchisees are going to be complaining. They're going to be complaining, because I've lived it. It's like, when we started, we had one image that we're like, you can use this. And they're like, this is it. We're like, oh, maybe they need another image. You know, I mean, that's like old school, right? Again, before digital marketing. But now I think there is just an expectation that content will be available and that the franchisor is going to do the strategic thinking to come up with what needs to be shared and when. And if your franchisees are having to come up with that, now listen, do you want to have a marketing task force to come up with the different campaigns and be a part of the strategic conversation? I think that's an amazing idea of how to get your franchisees involved. But they are absolutely going to have an expectation that you're thinking about that for them and that you are giving them the collateral and creative to execute the strategy in their location.
Shannon, thank you so much for coming on the Workplay Podcast. Where can everyone find you?
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Lyric. I had a great time talking franchising and scaling and marketing. It has been just a great time. And if anyone wants to connect with me, the best way to connect with me is through LinkedIn. And it is Shannon Wilburn. And I'm in a pink suit, so you'll be able to find me. Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Workplay Podcast is brought to you by Workplay Branding, a visual marketing company invested in changing the way you create content online. In 2019, they revamped the Workplay method and have been using this exact process to launch businesses' visual marketing strategies all over North America and in Europe. Head over to workplaybranding.com to learn exactly how you can launch your visual marketing strategy and cohesive brand for less than $500 a month.